Good morning, everyone. My very important duty here is to kindly ask you to turn off or mute your devices of various devices so that we don't have any bleeding into the PA system. And then also for your subsequent questions, if you could kindly use the microphones so that we can pick that up. And I think that's about it. And then I'd like to turn now to Ambassador Richard Solomon, President of the U.S. Institute of Peace, just to make some opening comments. Okay.
Good morning, and many thanks for coming this morning for to this press availability with the co-chairs of the Iraq Study Group, James A. Baker III, former Secretary of State, and many other positions in public service, and Lee Hamilton, Director of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, co-chair of the 9/11 Commission, and a 17-term member of Congress from Indiana. Let me very briefly comment on the background of this Iraq Study Group effort. At the turn of the year, Congress, and specifically Congressman Wolf of Virginia, asked the Institute of Peace to help organize an effort to take a fresh look at the Iraq situation, a bipartisan and forward-looking assessment of where that situation stood and where it seemed to be headed. And we were asked to do this in collaboration with the Center for the Study of the Presidency, headed, as you know, by David Abshire, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, John Hamry's organization, and Ed Sharigian, director of the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice Institute. The Iraq Study Group has now been at work for 6 months. It was launched up in Congress on March 15th, and as you will hear in a moment, has been doing a great deal of meeting, talking with all sorts of folks who have expertise on this situation, and they've recently returned from a four-day visit to Baghdad. So again, we appreciate your interest in this effort, and I'm delighted to turn the podium over to our co-chairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick Solomon. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here, as Dick said. There are 10 of us on the Iraq Study Group, 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats. 8 of us are here today. Lee Hamilton, of course, is co-chairman, as am I. And then we have Leon Panetta, Edwin Meese, Bob Gates, Bill Perry, Vernon Jordan, and Alan Simpson. Justice O'Connor is not with us, and Senator Chuck Robb could not be with us. As Dick Solomon told you, we were organized 6 months ago at the urging of Congress and with the approval of the administration. We've been very careful since that time to be pretty much under the radar because we haven't had anything too much to say. But we figured it's about time to tell you a little bit about what we've been doing. And in your package, you will have lists of all of the people we have talked to, both in Iraq, where we spent 3.5 to 4 days earlier this month, and here in the United States. Primarily, this press conference is intended to give you an update on procedure and process. Because we have said from the day we were formed, and our obligation is to present our report first to the President and the Congress, and then to the public, and we have said from day one that we were going to report after the midterm election, so that whatever we come forward with will not be overtaken by or seen to be patently political, because it's not going to be. We've just concluded the fifth session of two-day meetings here in Washington. 2 weeks ago, we returned from that four-day trip to Iraq. We've met with all those people whose names are listed on the list that are in your packets, whether in Iraq or here. Met with many folks who are experts in this subject, both here and at home. During our trip to Iraq, as well as during the taking of statements and testimony from experts, we have become impressed with the many difficult, pressing problems that are involved in taking a fresh look at the situation in Iraq. But I have to tell you also, particularly at least speaking for myself, we were extremely impressed, extraordinarily impressed, with the dedication and the courage and the determination of the Americans who are serving our country in Iraq, whether they are military or whether they're foreign service or civilians. They are doing a remarkable job under extraordinarily difficult conditions, and it indeed warms your heart. Later this afternoon, we will be meeting with a number of members of the House of Representatives, including members of the leadership. In everything we've done, ladies and gentlemen, we've proceeded on a collegial and bipartisan basis. I'll let Lee speak for himself, but I think it's his view, I know it's mine, that our report will not be particularly meaningful if it has dissenting views, and we are working very, very hard to achieve a consensus report. We are hopeful that we can do that. So with those preliminary remarks, let me turn it over to Congressman Hamilton.
Thank you, Secretary Baker. First of all, let me say what a high privilege it has been for me to work with Secretary Baker as the co-chairman, but also with the other members of the study group that have been introduced by Secretary Baker. It's really an exceptional group of people who have brought great seriousness of purpose, a lot of experience to tackling this very formidable problem that we have in Iraq. Each of us appreciate that it is a very critical time for the Iraqi government and for the Iraqi people. The challenges before Prime Minister Maliki and the Iraqi government are many, and they are daunting. Prime Minister Maliki has been in office since April. His government has been complete since June. The people of Iraq are looking to him urgently for leadership. Iraqis want a safer Baghdad and safer communities. They want an end to sectarian killings. They want electricity, water, and a government that fights corruption. No one can expect miracles, but the people of Iraq have the right to expect immediate action. They want to see progress on security, progress on national reconciliation, and progress on the delivery of basic services. And so do we. Time is short. The level of violence is great. The margins for error are narrow. The government of Iraq must act. The government of Iraq needs to show its own citizens soon, and the citizens of the United States, that it is deserving of continued support. The next 3 months are critical. Before the end of this year, this government needs to show progress in securing Baghdad, pursuing national reconciliation, and delivering basic services. We are particularly impressed by the importance of making progress with Operation Together Forward in Baghdad. The Iraq Study Group will continue its consultations, but we now turn from fact-finding primarily to the consideration of recommendations. We will, of course, continue to evaluate the performance of the government of Iraq and events on the ground before we issue our final report. We will continue to be forward-looking and endeavor to the best of our abilities to be constructive. We will continue to work on a bipartisan basis. We will aim to recommend what we believe is best for the country. This is a very tough problem. The options are limited. There is no silver bullet. There is no magic formula to this very tough situation in Iraq. We'll be pleased now to respond to your questions.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Bill Jones from Executive Intelligence Review. I'd just like to ask the question about the timing that you talked, because of the political calendar here in the United States. You wanted to wait until after the election. But the situation in Iraq seems to be degenerating from day to day. And there's also the question of where we will be at the beginning of November, where they will be at, if there's a salvageable situation at all in Iraq at that point. I mean, isn't the urgency being propelled by developments in Iraq, or shouldn't it be propelled by developments in Iraq rather than the calendar here? And secondly, there's been a lot of talk about creating some kind of a regional conference, bringing the other countries of the region together in some kind of maybe a Madrid conference, to get them to use the weight that they have and the influence they have to try and bring to bear on the situation, so that it is no longer simply the United States trying to deal with the problem, but a region trying to create stability within a very difficult part of that region.
Thank you. Think it's more important, frankly, to make sure that whatever report we bring forward is taken to the extent that we can take it out of domestic politics. So we think, and we said this back on March the 15th, a lot of things have happened between then and now. A lot more things will happen between now and probably the time after the election. We nevertheless think it is extremely important that this not be seen to be somehow a political exercise. You may not share that view, but that's the uniform and unanimous view of our study group. We're not going to speculate with you today about recommendations. You can say, are you going to recommend this or that or the other? And we really don't want to get into that game, because that puts it into the election, if you will. We thought it was important. We've had a lot of suggestions and complaints, frankly, from people saying, hey, you guys are way too far under the radar. And why don't you tell us a little bit, at least, about what you've done? Now, that's the purpose of this press conference, not to speculate on what our recommendations will be, because we actually haven't concluded our deliberations to finalize those recommendations, and our job is to present those first to the administration and the Congress.
Kevin Whitelaw with U.S. News and World Report magazine. If, as you say, the next 3 months are going to be critical, that you want the government to act, but your recommendations won't come out till pretty much the end of that time frame, can you talk a little bit about what exactly you think the government, a little more about exactly what the government needs to do, and also what the U.S. Might do differently to support it in that interim period?
We think it's a very critical time for the Iraqi government, and we think there are several areas that they're going to have to act upon. And we will be watching them, perhaps with some other areas as well. Clearly, security. Second area will be national reconciliation. And a third area would be governance, the ability of the government of Iraq to provide the basic services, electricity, water, sewage, and all of the fundamental services of government.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Jim Loeb, Interpress Service. I noticed on the list that you've met with ambassadors from Turkey, from Jordan, but you haven't met anyone from Saudi Arabia or Iran. Also, there's no mention of Muqtada al-Sadr as having been met with in Iraq. Hmm. I was wondering if you intended still to meet with representatives of those countries in that party.
We will meet tomorrow with the Saudi ambassador to the United States, Prince Turkey. We will meet as well tomorrow with the Syrian foreign minister. We're having both of these meetings on the margins of the General Assembly in New York. And we met while we were in Iraq, and you'll see a name down there. I don't know whether it's identified as a representative of Muqtada al-Sadr, but we met with his representative when we were in Baghdad.
There is a
prospect that we will meet with someone from the government of Iran, but that has not been finalized, although it's my understanding the meeting has been okayed, but not the date. But we're waiting on the date.
Yes.
Hi, Yochid Rizan from the Wall Street Journal. The problems you cited in Iraq as problems for the new Iraqi government, these are all things that the U.S. government itself has tried to deal with, security, electricity, et cetera. and largely failed over the last 3 years. I understand you don't want to get into the recommendations today, but as a baseline question, do you think Iraq is still winnable in any substantive sense, or is the issue for your panel now minimizing the scale of U.S. Loss and the suffering the U.S. may have going forward?
We're not going to make any assessments today about what we think the status of the situation is in Iraq, because by doing so, I think we tip our hand considerably, and we have all of these things under consideration. Where we are is that we have spent these last few months talking to all of these people that you have on the list before you. We have spent very little time as a group, some time, but very little time, talking about either one, an assessment of the situation as it stands today, or the recommendations that we intend to make. So Secretary Baker and I simply are not able at this point even to give you a good idea of where the study group exists with regard to recommendations.
Yes, ma'am.
How much were you able to leave the Green Zone while you were in Baghdad, and what did you see outside the Green Zone?
We were able to leave the Green Zone. None of us other than Senator Robb left the Green Zone. It was recommended to us that it would probably be something we ought not to do, but they were willing for us to do it if we insisted. We didn't insist because we didn't want to be, we didn't want somebody to write a story that we were cowboying it down there in Iraq. But we could have gone out if we'd wanted to, and Senator Robb did, in fact, go to Anbar Province.
May I simply add to that that we had a very brief period in Iraq. We worked very long hours each day, but every official that we wanted to speak to was available to us. And, of course, they're all in the so-called Green Zone. So we felt that from the standpoint of getting an assessment of Iraqi officials as well as American officials on the ground, we had every possible advantage, and I hope we took advantage of that.
Question yes. Here?
Yes, sir.
Guess I'm the invisible man.
Are you all supposed to be? We'll come over there next, Riley. Sorry.
Spencer Ackerman with the New Republic. If you can't get into what your recommendations will be, can you at least explain certain definitions? What does success mean? What does failure mean? What does a responsible exit mean?
Well, that's characterized. That's the very question that Mr. Hamilton just said we're not going to get into. It's an assessment of what the situation is. We haven't completed that assessment. Those definitions can mean different things to different people, so we're not going to get into that today.
Nick Simeon with Fox News. Does part of your assessment include whether this government can work the way it's formed, these personalities, if this is viable at all? Is that included in your assessment?
Well, yes, of course it is. We will make an assessment of not only U.S. policy and make recommendations with regard to U.S. policies, but we will also make an assessment with regard to the Iraqi government and their ability to execute.
All right. Okay.
Jackie Lydon, National Public Radio. Gentlemen, thinking tangentially along the lines of my colleagues here, what sort of suasion, other than your personages, do you think you can bring to bear on this that we haven't seen before? Who will you reach? Will you have these kinds of press conferences in Baghdad? Will you be talking more with members of the press? You've been meeting for many months. Why now? What's the suasion?
Well, if you take a look at the list in your packet, you'll see we've met with a whole lot of people, both here in the United States and in Iraq. We met with people in Iraqis in Iraq who were not part of the government. We're going to come, as we are charged to do in the congressional urging that resulted in our being formed and in the administration's approval of what we're trying to do. We're going to come with some rather specific and detailed recommendations. Oh, of course, we're going to present them to the as we indicated earlier. We're going to present these to the administration, to the Congress, and to the public. But first, we're going to give them to the Congress and the administration. I'm talking about just to maybe, but there won't be any days in between that. But we'll give you the recommendation. They'll be made public, and then we'll see where we go from there.
May I simply add that I think that we don't have instant credibility as a Iraq study group. We understand we have to earn that credibility. We're in the process of familiarizing ourselves with this problem. And when we speak, as Secretary Baker said, we'll speak first to the President and the Congress and then to the public. It's been my experience in working with commissions that their credibility depends in good part, at least, with the people who make up the group. And if you look at the members of our group here, you know that they are extraordinarily able people with a lot of experience in both the legislative and executive branches of government and judicial. So we think we will be listened to.
Right there, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Will the report that you give the public be the total report that you give to the administration and Congress? Will there be any redacted parts, or will there be any opportunity for change between those?
No, we plan to give the entire report to the public. Same report we're going to present to the Congress and to the President.
Andrew Gray of Reuters. One question on the timing. You've said you hope to present the report after the midterm elections at some point. Have you given yourselves a deadline? Do you have any more specific sort of date in mind, how soon after the elections? And a second question, I wondered if any issue had been so glaring in all the consultations you've had that you felt you wanted to bring it to the administration's attention or to the Iraqi government's attention more quickly. Was there anything that stood out?
We have not singled out a certain issue thus far. We don't exclude that. It's possible that we will do it. With regard to a deadline, we have not set a deadline, as Secretary Baker suggested. We do plan to report after the election, but no deadline. I think the only statement, if I'm correct, Jim, we've made with regard to that is we would report within a year of when we were founded, which was in March.
Sir.
Peter Spiegel with the Los Angeles Times. This is a question for Secretary Baker. Your involvement in this project has been seen in foreign policy circles as some sort of sign that the current administration is looking towards, for lack of a better word, the more realist view of foreign policy, more closely associated with his father. Do you agree with that assessment, and is that what you hope to bring to this project?
No, I don't agree with that assessment. What I hope to bring to the project is 4 years of experience as a Secretary of State of this country and 4 years of experience as Treasury Secretary of this country. And I hope an understanding of international relations. This project originated with the Congress, but clearly the administration has not disapproved of our going forward, and in fact has approved and has made it. You can't go to Baghdad unless you have support from the administration. So they're helping us with people, they're helping us with documents, they're helping us with travel and all of that, and they've approved of this process. But I wouldn't characterize it as a divergence in one way or another. Wait till you see what the recommendations say, and then you can make your own judgment.
Let me just add that I've been working very closely now with Secretary Baker. I assure you that he is bringing a using his experience in a very diligent way. He's been very serious, and he has acted completely independently. For my part, I've been immensely pleased with the operations we have had within the Iraq Study Group, not only the relationship between myself and Secretary Baker, but all of the members of the commission. And I think the key word to understanding the Iraq Study Group is we're an independent body. And that's precisely what the Congress wanted and the President has welcomed.
Yes, sir.
Congressman Hamilton, Tom Gelton from NPR. Your statement that the Iraqi government needs to show progress in those three areas by the end of the year, is that a finding that grew out of your trip to Baghdad? Is that a premise that you've been operating on for some time, or does that reflect what you saw there? And Secretary Baker, do you agree with that assessment that he made?
In advance, I agree. Let me answer the question, and then Lee will answer it for you. It grew out of our trip, I think. But we heard that from officials of the Iraqi government and from officials, both military and diplomatic, of the United States government.
I agree.
Jim Loeb at Interpress again. I'd like to follow up my previous question. You said you would meet with someone in the Iranian government, but a time hasn't been specified. Can you identify who that person would be and whether it was cleared by the Iranian government or the U.S. government? I was a little unclear on that. And if I asked you whether you might expect to meet with that person with some other kind of message, for example, from this administration, would you give me a straight answer to that question?
No. And we're not going to tell you who it is either because we haven't set up the meeting. But we're fairly confident we will meet with a high representative of the Iranian government.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Bob Dreyfus. I did a piece over the summer for the Washington Monthly on your commission, and a number of people who you said not to talk to me did talk to me, and they kind of said that, I'm going to take another crack at your recommendation thing. Have you ruled out, in fact, that one solution would not be to increase the troop levels or U.S. presence in Iraq? And second, is it true that the people who've been making these recommendations to you have been skeptical about the idea that there are modifications to the stay the course notion that can be made to salvage the situation, or that things need to move toward some sort of redeployment, as they've told me has been presented to you?
We've made no judgment of any kind at this point about any aspect of policy with regard to Iraq. We have certainly not made any judgment with respect to the troop level question. We have, as the papers in front of you show, a number of people who have helped us. We call them expert working groups. My impression, at least, is that they represent about every possible opinion, and they've been very articulate in expressing them. They have been exceedingly helpful to us in understanding the politics and the security situation, the economic situation, the regional situation in the area. And we are grateful to them for their help and support. I think they represent an enormous variety and diversity of views.
I think we have time for one or two more questions, if there are still folks there with questions.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. You want to come up here?
Bennett Roth, Houston Chronicle. In your book, you are critical of the post-invasion way that the administration and the Defense Department handled this, Secretary Baker. Does that coloring your view now of what to do, looking at how the administration handled this previously?
No, because we are forward-looking. We're not here, and we haven't spent any time. We're not here to, nor have we spent any time wringing our hands over what mistakes might or might not have been created in the past. I guess what you're referring to is my statement in there that I think we seriously misjudged the difficulty of winning the peace. That happens to be what I believe. But no, it doesn't color it at all, because we are forward-looking. We're here. What do we do now?
But the same people that you criticize would have to carry out your recommendations. I mean, do you trust them to do that?
Well, nobody's given you an ironclad guarantee that our recommendations will be carried out either. But as Coach Chairman Hamilton told you, we're going to come with what we think is the best thing for the country. So it doesn't, I mean, the fact that I have that sentence in the book doesn't color where I'm coming from at all.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.